Welcome to Agency of the Month, sponsored by ICF International on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This month's agency is the Department of Health and Human Services.
I'm Lauren Larson. My guest today is Dr. Carolyn Clancy, Director of the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, also known as ARC. Welcome. Thanks for joining me.
A pleasure.
I'd like to start by asking you to tell me a little bit about your role at ARC and describe their mission within the Department of Health and Human Services.
Sure. ARC is a research agency. It's an operating division of the Department of Health and Human Services, and our mission is to improve the quality, safety, effectiveness, and efficiency of healthcare for all Americans. As a research agency, we take enormous pride in making sure that we come up with answers and potential solutions to improving healthcare that are so urgent right now, that are reliable and valid and can be used by many organizations and communities across the country. And we also take great pride in partnering with both public and private sector colleagues to take the tools and information we developed and actually apply them in real life, to real life healthcare, to literally saving people's lives. As the director, I am sort of like a team captain of an agency that has probably about 400 people working here. Some are clinically trained, physicians, nurses, pharmacists, and so forth. Many more actually are social scientists of a variety of stripes, economists, statisticians, psychologists, and the like, and many have degrees in administration and health policy. So really a fantastic privilege for me, because the people who work here are so great.
And how do you decide, as you were saying, what research is the most urgent, the most important? How do you make those decisions?
I'm so glad you asked that question. We have an ongoing process of planning and environmental scanning at all times. So on any given day, people are reading journal articles, reading lay press, and attending meetings and consulting with colleagues in similar agencies, again, both public and private sector organizations, to try to identify what are the most pressing needs in healthcare. And we do a great deal of stakeholder consultation. In a formal sense, we have a National Advisory Committee, which is a federal advisory committee, that gives us terrific advice several times a year. But we also, I don't think a day goes by that we aren't sharing information with each other about, you know, what I'm hearing from patients, for example, is I wish I had better access to information that didn't require that I went into medical care, that kind of thing. So it's an ongoing process, and as a relatively small agency with a huge mission, we are constantly making sure that we're not making redundant investments.
How do you foster transparency in your research investments?
This varies a little bit by specific topical focus of the program. For some areas, and probably the best exhibit is patient-centered outcomes research. This is the kind of research that asks pretty fundamental questions like which treatments work for which patients under which circumstances. You know, for many, many areas of healthcare today, there's two or more good options, which is a fantastic place to be. But what there's not is good comparative information, so the clinicians have and patients have a good idea of what's the best starting point for this individual, given their preferences, needs, and so forth. So for that line of work, we have an ongoing public transparent process at every step of the way. So that includes setting very high-level priorities like heart disease or cancer. When specific questions are identified, again, through a broad consultation process, we actually post the key questions for public comment to make sure that we're getting it right. In addition to posting for public comment, we also have a strategy that includes the use of key informants in a particular area. Once the work commences, whether that is a systematic review or evidence report or original research. A draft final report is literally posted online and people are notified when it's ready for public comment. And we also solicit explicit reviewers, particularly with statistical expertise, and then the final report. So people aren't surprised at the end by our focus in a particular area. That's one, I think, very good model of transparency, but there's very, very little that we do that isn't put out for public comment.
What are some of the keys to maintaining those relationships with patient groups, with EVPs?
The overarching principle here is trust. People want to know that the information that we produce, after this fairly elaborate and deliberate process, actually is reliable, that they can take it to the bank, so to speak. And so many of our reports will say things like, here's the evidence as it's known today, and here's the areas where there is not good evidence yet. So, for example, one of our early reports was a report on heartburn, which, of course, has a fancier medical name. And essentially, it compared different types of medicines and a surgical procedure. And at the end of the initial report, we said, you know, in general, the outcomes are very, very similar. And there are also some newer, less invasive surgical procedures that look promising, but there is not good evidence on where they would fit into this picture. So I think people come to trust that. And in addition to that, we have set up a system where any question or topic that people nominate, they get an almost immediate response. I know this because once or twice I've had a friend or colleague copy me on the email to this system. I'm pretty fast, but the system gets back to them much faster. So even if someone has got a particular question or area they want better information, and there simply have been no studies in the area and it's not clear how we would go about it, we close the loop with that requester almost immediately. So I think that responsiveness is a very important key.
We have to take a short break now. You're listening to Agency of the Month, sponsored by ICF International on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Our guest today is Dr. Carolyn Clancy, Director of the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality.
Cancer claims more than 570,000 lives each year and costs more than $102 billion in care expenses alone. ICF International plays a role in every aspect of cancer data collection and dissemination, helping clients track this deadly disease across the country. They provide researchers, including those working at the National Institutes of Health, as well as health officials, medical professionals, and the public, with information they need to better fight cancer or prevent it altogether. To have the greatest impact, you must tackle the most important problems. All over the world, ICF International applies strategy, science, and technology to help clients achieve measurable results, including healthier people and vibrant communities. This is ICF International, and their work helps government health programs improve the quality of life. Find out how ICF's informatics, research, and communication work helps make a difference at ICFI.com.
Welcome back to Agency of the Month, sponsored by ICF International. I'm speaking with Dr. Carolyn Clancy, Director of the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. How has technology changed the way research is conducted, and how do you keep up with it?
Well, you know, technology and cheaper computing power has a lot to do with the agency's creation a little over 20 years ago. At the time, the driving inspiration was the growing amount of research that showed enormous variations in practice, which meant that for members of Congress, more money was being spent in some areas of the country than in others on health care, but there didn't seem to be a difference in outcomes. And cheaper computing power made it possible for many people to actually do these kinds of analyses with extremely large data sets. Now I think you could probably do them on a smartphone. But, you know, at the time you were talking about mainframe computers and so forth. And over time, the use of web-based applications and the use of smarter applications of technology has been both a focus of our work as well as an important tool for doing the work more effectively.
Technology assessments for Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services are another important part of what ARC does. How are those assessments conducted, and what is the collaborative process with CMS like?
You know, the collaborative process with CMS in this particular area is something that we really relish and prize, to be honest. CMS has to make many, many decisions about what will be covered under Medicare in particular. States have a fair amount of flexibility in terms of what gets covered under Medicaid, but Medicare actually has an entire national coverage decision process, shortened in our world to NCD, of course. And in addition to that, there is a formal advisory group that includes people with all kinds of expertise, because you can imagine the range of services that CMS is asked to consider for Medicare beneficiaries is extremely huge. So it might include devices for home monitoring. It might include coverage for new types of procedures. It might include something like implantable defibrillators and so forth. So you need a huge array of expertise on hand. And that advisory committee that they convene is a federal advisory committee. They do their work transparently. CMS will turn to us to give them the best advice possible when they are confronted with some of these decisions. Sometimes the best advice we can give them is there is very little evidence that can be brought to bear on this question. More often, we will say there are a variety of studies, and what we can do is commission a rapid systematic review, which is a way of putting together the results from many different studies based on the quality of the studies in a way that's comprehensible and digestible. So we present the facts. Sometimes we present those facts directly to the advisory committee. Sometimes staff at CMS do this. But the point is, it's a very, very important input. We're not saying to them, you know, you probably ought to cover this. What we're saying is, here's what we know from science. And as a result of our collaboration, they have become far better informed about the kinds of questions that should be asked. So, for example, you can't say, is an insulin pump good or not, right? The real question is, are insulin pumps, would be something like, are insulin pumps more effective at managing the blood sugar of people with diabetes and minimizing the risk that their blood sugar will go too low and they'll have adverse effects when used by selected populations? That's what I mean by getting the question right. So as a result of our ongoing relationship with them, this is a key first step.
We'll take another short break now. You're listening to Agency of the Month, sponsored by ICF International on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest today is Dr. Carolyn Clancy, director of the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality.
Cancer claims more than 570,000 lives each year and costs more than $102 billion in care expenses alone. ICF International plays a role in every aspect of cancer data collection and dissemination, helping clients track this deadly disease across the country. They provide researchers, including those working at the National Institutes of Health, as well as health officials, medical professionals, and the public, with information they need to better fight cancer or prevent it altogether. To have the greatest impact, you must tackle the most important problems. All over the world, ICF International applies strategy, science, and technology to help clients achieve measurable results, including healthier people and vibrant communities. This is ICF International, and their work helps government health programs improve the quality of life. Find out how ICF's informatics, research, and communication work helps make a difference at ICFI.com.
Welcome back to Agency of the Month, sponsored by ICF International. Carolyn Clancy is my guest. She directs the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. You mentioned evidence-based practice centers earlier, and I wanted to ask you, why are EPCs important, and what is the process of awarding contracts for EPCs?
EPCs are something that the agency created and have been funding since, I believe, 1997. And they essentially address the question of what's the evidence, and to inform a particular set of questions. From the earliest days of the agency, we learned if you picked a topic, say cataract surgery, that was one of the early big projects, and did a literature review, you would find, maybe 20 to 30,000 articles, possibly more now. If you actually then put a filter on all of those articles to, for example, not include case studies of one individual patient, or to not include studies that were not well done, or studies where it's not incredibly clear how the investigators got from A to B, oftentimes you would get down to a very small fraction of that of good quality studies that could, whose results could then be synthesized. This is pretty quantitative science. Sometimes people use the word meta-analysis. The reality is that for many topics, you can't actually do a meta-analysis, because you can have a nice-sized group of very well-done studies, but they use different endpoints. So unless they used common endpoints and common disease definitions, that kind of quantitative technique of getting them all together is very, very difficult. So these evidence reports are pretty long. I saw one recently that was, I believe, 698 pages. Needless to say, we have a shorter, more succinct executive summary, but that could easily be 30 pages, which actually walks the reader through a little bit of background and what the key questions are as identified by key informants, public input, and so forth, and then walks through what is the state of evidence in that particular area. So we believe that from the earliest days of the agency, since this has been a very important focus for us, that we have literally contributed to building the science in this area. How we fund this work is through what is sometimes colloquially referred to as task order contracts, sometimes have been referred to long ago as basic ordering agreements. So when we announced the new evidence-based practice centers, these are centers who have competed for the right to receive the opportunity to do future work for us under contract. So the value of that initial contract is zero. It's the future work and the right to bid on it that is the value in that contract. It sometimes means that they have to work in a very, very timely fashion. So generally we've got a couple of these evidence-based practice centers that actually focus on, among other things, the technology assessments for CMS, because CMS has got a pretty tight timeline that they have to adhere to. Sometimes a couple of them focus on supporting a scientific review for the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, a group that's independent, but a group who's for whom we provide scientific and administrative support. So it's a very, very exciting area. And the reason it's so important, describing the process sounds a little bit geeky. I know that all too well. But if you think about on any given day, you're driving in your car and you're hearing about this study and that study and so on and so forth, turns out in science it's actually very, very unusual that a single study is groundbreaking. So the weight of evidence across multiple studies, particularly for science that informs clinical and healthcare decisions, is incredibly important. So we're very proud of the work in systematic reviews.
All of this research that you do at ARC, how does it all come together in the end? How is it implemented in day-to-day public healthcare?
So first let me say that at the outset, when the agency was first created, there's a very strong focus in our authorizing legislation on dissemination and application of the knowledge to improve patient care. So we actually commissioned the study quite a few years ago that found that on average it takes about 17 years for funded research to benefit patients, which is a really, really long time, sometimes actually longer. You don't, as I just mentioned a moment ago, want people necessarily jumping because they just heard something cool on the radio that was in the New England Journal, you know, calling all their patients with a particular problem and saying, okay, we're changing course here. But at the same time, 17 years is really, really a long time. And the Congress recognized back in late 1989 that we actually needed to speed up that timeline. So the issue of how do we get this information out is very, very important. We use everything from social marketing techniques, working with the Ad Council, information distributed through supermarkets or other places where people might be thinking about their health and healthcare. Obviously, we've got strong partnerships with physicians, nurses, pharmacy organizations, and so forth. We also work very closely with entities that provide continuing education, and as well as with our public sector partners. So if we discover something new that's going to be extremely relevant to something that the Medicare program wants to do, they hear about it right away. But the question of how do you distribute knowledge and tools to improve healthcare is and remains a very big challenge. If you have a product to sell, that's one set of strategies, right? If the product is actually knowledge about what works or how to improve care, that's a little bit trickier. Right now, in the past several years, we've been working a lot with both public, as in Medicare, and Medicaid as well, and private sector payers for healthcare, because they've got the reach to actually inform how healthcare is delivered and so forth. And sometimes we build it into the grants themselves or contracts. So, for example, several years ago, starting 6 or 7 years ago, we've had several rounds of a focused research solicitation that focuses on practical tools to make care safer. So out of that grew, for example, a program to reduce avoidable hospital readmissions, which is now a big focus in policy. The policy focus wasn't ours. Our focus was this will make care safer and, frankly, more focused on patients' needs if we can get the discharge instructions right and make sure that the follow-up happens and so forth. We don't pay for care. We don't provide it or regulate it. But through partnerships with entities that do, we can make sure that they've got the best possible information to inform their decisions.
That's all the time we have today. Thank you so much for joining me. I enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it as well.
Thanks for listening, and special thanks to Dr. Carolyn Clancy, Director of the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You've been listening to Agency of the Month, sponsored by ICF International on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This month's agency is the Department of Health and Human Services. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Search Agency of the Month, Agency of the Month, Wednesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.